We come tonight, and actually I'm just hooking up the train again tonight, in this thing of God himself. Now look at, back at the verse again, if you will. I want you to, it's before you, look at it for just a moment again. And we know what a marvelous little statement. We know that all things, one of the hardest things in the world for you to believe that is that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. We're working on this little phrase, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The called. The called. Now, last week we talked about the attitude of the call. Things change when God moves on the scene, when God changes you. God doesn't change, but he changes you. Amen. And when God changes us, things about us begin to change. We don't see like we used to see. We don't hear like we used to hear. We don't go where we used to go. We don't say what we used to say. We're just not what we used to be. And thank God that's so. Thank the Lord that there is a change in the life of the believer. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17, Paul says it this way, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature. That's the important thing. New creature. In Christ, new creature. If you're a new creature, again, that means that you're not what you were before. It's just as simple as it can be, isn't it? If you're a new creature, then that means there must have been an old creature. And now that old creature is gone, and the new creature has come on the scene. This new creation is a creation by the power of the Lord God Almighty. Let me make a statement. Listen carefully. It takes the same power of God to save a soul as it did to create worlds. Now think about that for a moment. The same power of God that spoke light into existence, spoke life into you. Yes. Salvation is a resurrection. It is coming to life spiritually. Yes. I often in teaching students, especially seminary students who hopefully we're going out to share the Word of God. We mentioned this little thing to them. When God created Adam in the garden, he created him a trichotomy. Yes. Body, soul, spirit. Yes. When Adam left the garden, he left their body and soul. He left there a dichotomy, right. A twofold being. Yes. And every son of Adam has been a dichotomy. Until the Lord Jesus Christ came. Yes. When Jesus came, there was another trichotomy, right, on the earth. And now, when Jesus comes into your heart, you become a trichotomy. Amen. A threefold person. Amen. You walk around the streets today, and you work with, and whatever you do with, you go to church with, yes, dichotomies. People who do not know the Lord Jesus. People who have never known the power of the resurrection of Christ. People whose spirit is still dead within them. They have no connecting link with God. And when God, the Holy Ghost, comes on the scene, he brings life. That spiritual nature comes alive. That connecting link with God that Adam had in the garden, even better than Adam had in the garden, is now within us. And now that spiritual nature is alive, we become a trichotomy, body, soul, spirit. We're now alive toward God. It's hard for people to understand that sometimes, but it's so. No one in the Old Testament is born again. Not one. Not one single soul in the Old Testament is born again. Can you imagine? Down through the ages, right on till the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, no one is born again. The Spirit of God comes upon them, moves them to do whatever the task is that God has for them to do, and they do it, and He departs. He doesn't come to indwell them. He comes upon them for a season. But when Jesus Christ died, rose from the grave, ascended back to the Father sent the Holy Ghost into this world to indwell every born again believer. Now, by the grace of God, the church is a trichotomy. We have that connecting link with God. Can you imagine that? Now, we had some great people throughout the Old Testament, great prophets. But none of them were born again. Not the first one. Do you suppose we're special? Do you suppose for a moment that God had something in store for us as believers in His darling Son that the Old Testament saints didn't know anything about? May I go further to say that the angels didn't know anything about? Simon Peter said they desire to look into. They'd like to know what it's all about, but they don't know what it's all about. We come to church like this and rejoice, and they're wondering what's going on. How can they do that? How can humankind do that? Because the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven indwells the believer, and we have a bit of heaven in this world in our hearts. And heaven begets heaven. Thank the Lord it does. How sorrowful it is, though, that those who have made no change has come in their lives, and they live lifelong in the pews of churches, singing Amazing Grace, going along with the services, and no change has taken place. And they think that they're going to jump out of the lap of the world into glory when their change comes. Not so. On last week, we dealt with Titus chapter 2. Brother Gary mentioned it this morning. The saint of God, the very grace of God that bringeth salvation, Paul said, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. Some folks are evidently waiting to get to glory before they start living right. Amen. It don't work that way. The call of God is actually the highest of calls. Let me kind of dig around the roots of this for just a moment. The call of God is the highest of calls. Do you realize that the President of the United States, who supposedly is the most powerful man in the world, if didn't have Pelosi and some of them other folks trying to hold him back, but supposedly that is the highest office in the world in this day and time. Do you realize that the call of God on a pauper out here in the backside of some little old town in the Appalachian region of this country, when God calls them, their call is more important than the call to the presidency of the United States of America? Whew. Well, that says something to me. It ought to say something to you. When God calls you, you are somebody. You move out of darkness into light. And again, God changes everything about you, not just a few things, but everything about you. Now, you still have that old nature, and that old nature will wrestle with the new nature. But nothing defeats God. And no matter how much that old nature kicks its heels, that new nature, by the grace of God, is going to overcome it. And we're really going to wind up in glory one of these days. Even though every time you stump your toe, the devil says you're going to hell. Amen. Huh? Yeah. Did he ever tell you that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does. I just tell him to go where he's supposed to go. You just go on right now. Let me alone. Because I know something. I know that the call of God is the most important and highest call that a man could possibly have. When a man's in sin, he sees no value in godly things. They drive up and down the road past this church and churches across this country and pay absolutely no attention to what's going on. They don't care. They value titles, triumphs, themes. Give me something. Put my name in lights. That's where they value. That's where their thoughts are. But the child of God rejoices because his name's written down in glory. Our Lord told us to do that, didn't he? Rejoice because your name's written down in glory. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6:17. A command to the New Testament believer. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He'll be a father to us, and we'll be his sons. And daughters, by the way. What a precious thought. What a precious reality. And by the way, we can do that. By the power of God, we come out from among the world. By the way, that's the way God saves us. Let's go back to the resurrection of Lazarus, if you will. Lazarus is in the grave. He's there with every other dead person around, right? Or anywhere else. He's in the land of death. But Jesus came by and called his name specifically, Lazarus, come forth. Now Lazarus comes out of the world he was in into the world of life. And our Lord said, loose him and let him go. He's a new creature. He's not where he was. Just moments ago, he was dead. Now he's alive. Do you get the picture? Experientially, salvation is an instant thing. But practically it is not. For it's a work of God in the heart to turn you from the world to Christ. Amen. From the sin that you love to one you once hated. And now you begin to hate the sin that you once loved and love the one that you once hated. Amen. Just as instantly as Lazarus was called out of the death that no man can overcome except he hear the voice of God. Amen. Or feel the touch of God. Or hear the trump of God. Yes. And when Lazarus came out of there, he came out of there a different being. Hallelujah. Yes. That's what happens to you and to me when Jesus calls. Yes. Lazarus, come forth. A resurrection. You get up from the dead. You're no longer where you were. Now you're alive in Jesus Christ. Precious stones. Some of these ladies are carrying around on their fingers or ears and necks and so on and so forth. Some of you men may be carrying some around. Precious stones. They get their makeup from the earth. But can I tell you something? They get their sparkle from heaven. The minerals and so on from the earth make that stone, but they sparkle from heaven. You and I are earthlings, but when the light comes on, we begin to sparkle as jewels, the Old Testament tells us. We're jewels. God said, when I make up my jewels, when I get all of those that I've mined from the crevices of the earth, when I get them all together, when I make up my jewels, and they all sparkle from another world. Glory, glory. A saint will do his best. By the way, a saint will do his best not only in the house of God, but in his daily calling. Let me say that one more time. A saint will do his best not only in the house of God, but in his heavenly calling, or his earthly calling. Whatever you do in this world, you need to do the best job you can. Just do it right. You're going to find out if you do it right, sometime you're going to get noticed. Oh, yeah. Someone will notice that you're doing things right. And guess what happens to folks who are doing it right? They leave that crowd behind that's sloughing off and halfway doing the job. And after a while, they're telling them what to do. Just do things right. If you honor God, then honor the position you're in this world and do a good job at what you're doing. I've always tried to teach our students, do the best you can do where you are, and God will move you on. But if you don't do the best you can do where you are, you'll stay there and rot away in that certain position. Do the best you can do. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter number 19, verse number 13, our Lord uses this phrase, occupy till I come. Now, this word is a long word. It is pregmetyoamahi. But it simply means to be busy at what you're supposed to be doing. Be ardent at whatever you're to do. Now, that includes your job. That includes your nation. That includes the church. That includes everything that you're a part of in this world. God put you here. God made you a citizen of the United States of America. You ought to do everything you can do to make your life more pleasant in this present world. Now, in order to do that, that means we need to be busy and do the things we need to do to make sure that the government isn't beating us to death all the time. And the best way to do that is to get out there and vote. Be active in doing what you're supposed to do to make sure that the government doesn't come down on your head all the time for being a saint. There are nations around this world tonight that are suffering pitifully because they've allowed the powers that be to overcome them. Now, God didn't mean for that to happen. Let me tell you how I know that. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Right. Speaking to Simon Peter, he said, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, the confession that Simon Peter had just made that he was the Son of God. And upon this, I will build my church. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't think hell can't take a hold of government. By the way, if you need a picture of that, just open your weary little eyes and ears today and you'll find that out. Amen. Hell has moved in lock, stock, and barrel. Now, if you sit still and let that take place and just say there's nothing we can do, then you know nothing about the Constitution of the United States of America. Men who prayed wrote the Constitution. Men who were aware of the power of God and the awesome power that government would steal wrote the Constitution of the United States of America. And it is we, the people, who have the power in this country. Now, if you give it away, you no longer have it. I have news for you. I refuse to give it away. You ought to do the same thing. Don't give it away. It belongs to you. It is a God-given right. Hold on to it. God meant for us to do that. Occupy until I come, he declares. I'm going to begin to deal with what we're supposed to do as believers. So we're going to start off with the letter A. Achieve. When Jesus was dealing with the parable that we talked about a moment ago, where he said, occupy till I come. In the light of that, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. We are to achieve. We are to be a blessing as well, but we are to achieve in this world. Don't be afraid. Listen, the Word of God declares, by a multitude of business a dream cometh. I reminded my granddaughter of that this week. She is quite the entrepreneur and has put many businesses together and runs her husband's business as well and is doing very well. And I said to her, the Word of God declared, through a multitude of business a dream cometh. If you have a dream, then you're going to come to that dream because of a multitude of business. Be right with God. Amen. Do your business right. Amen. Do people right. Amen. And God will bless you throughout whatever it is that you're doing. Amen. So achieve, and then be the blessing that we're to be to the world about us. Now, I said it a moment ago. Let me go back to this. Think of this. You're the light of the world. Jesus said that. I didn't say it. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. Now, he also said, you're the salt of the earth. Two things. As being light, when the light comes on, you move out of darkness. Do you realize that it is an impossibility for you to move from darkness to light without something happening to you? There is a chemical reaction that takes place in your body when you move from darkness to light. Your eyes change and other things happen because you moved out of that darkness into light. Now, when you move out of darkness into light, now you become the light. What happens to the darkness around you? Like roaches, it flees, it runs for some place to hide, hunting more darkness. When the light comes on, God Almighty does something in you and in others when you turn the light on. I like that. Time and time again, I've been places and things going on that shouldn't have been going on, and then somebody will recognize me. Buddy, you talk about things changing. I mean, it goes out of that Saturday night talk to Sunday morning Sunday school talk. But you can't erase what's already been done, can you? But look here, why did that happen? Because you walked on the scene, because light came on, because salt came into the presence, and things changed. Amen. Glory. Amen. I was visiting some of our folks I don't know what day it was, it'll make any difference. But anyway, I drove up in the yard and two gentlemen were working on the engine in a car. And as I drove up, they recognized my car. And one of them grabbed a bottle of beer and put it down under the hood and started to pull the hood down. When he did, he hit his head with the hood. And he kept fooling around there, and he closed that hood. And when he did, he caught his hand. Now, he had a rag around his hand, so it didn't hurt him too bad, but he caught his hand. And he jerked that hand out and held it. And when I walked up, I said, listen, there wasn't any use you doing that. He said, but preacher, I didn't want you to see that. I said, listen, God's seen it. And if you'd have been doing right, your hand wouldn't be hurting and your head wouldn't be hurting. Hey, when you walk in the room, when you come on the scene as a believer in Jesus Christ, you bring light with you, and light causes darkness to flee. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Absolutely. I'm glad to be able to know that by the grace of God, when you come on the scene as a believer, things change where you are. Amen. Salt is a preservative. I recall as a boy that we had a smokehouse. Actually, it became a salt house more than a smokehouse, because we cured the hams and the meat with salt. And that table, about that deep, salt. And you'd walk in there, and those hams had been in there for some time under that salt. Take that thing out. Mom would wash it off. Or if you weren't going to take the whole thing, you just take a knife with you. Cut off what you want, put it back in the salt, go to the house with it. Now, that may not have been the best thing for blood pressure, but it sure was good for that meat. It kept that meat, kept it fresh, and kept it good to eat. Huh? Oh, yeah. Now, hear me. Ye are the salt of the earth, the preservative. Are you hearing me? I'm going to make this statement. I'm finished. The very reason America is still on the map is because of the salt. Amen. Because the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is sparing this old world. I think of it often, and surely you do. Amen. How wicked we are. How far we have gone since the day that I started preaching. How far we've gone. And most of us knew the downward spiral was going to get worse and worse. But how far we've gone. And rightfully so, we should have already suffered the judgment of God. But because there is salt. Because God still has some young'uns spread across the face of this earth. He's sparing this old earth. He said to Abraham, if I can find 10, if I can find 10, I'll save the city. Are you listening to me? That outfit needs to know that the reason they can still run up and down the road and carry on and raise hell like they're doing in this day and time, the reason they can do that is because the church is still on the scene. The salt is still here.